Nearby, shepherds were lying in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
For Advent, we are on this journey towards Christmas. 4 weeks, 4 Sundays, 4 candles, more lights. Christmas is coming. In order to get us into that space this year, I thought it would be fun and interesting to take a song that we sing during the season, and look at it a little closer and ask ourselves, what does this great song that we sing every year, what does it have to tell us? Maybe what does it have to teach us about what it is that we're actually singing about? Last week, as we lit that first candle of the season, we said, O come, Emmanuel. Come, God, come be with us. And I said, you got to kind of embody that inner parent voice when you say, come, God. You're like, come here, right now. We need you. This week, we turn our attention to another song, a familiar song. This one is, O come, all ye faithful.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come, O come, to heaven.
You know it, sing it out. Love that one? I love that one, right? I mean, I think like if we had a Christmas fight song, that would be it, right? Yes, thank you, Caleb, right? That's our Hail to the Victors right there, right? I imagine that I'm back there with the choir. We're getting all fired up. I give them the pregame speech. We sing, oh, come all ye faithful. And then we bust through the doors and we come in and we do Christmas with you. What do you think, Ben? Should we do that next week? Let's do it. Ben is in, right? I love O Come All Ye Faithful. It's big, it's rousing, it's inspiring. It's like our fight song. It's like our Hail to the Victors. Does Michigan State have a fight song? Do they? I don't think I've heard it much this year. I just was wondering. But how about Western Michigan? Does Western Michigan have a fight song? Anybody, Karen, do you know the fight song?
Yeah.
Would you like to sing it for us? Oh, Caleb's from there too. So, anyway, back to Christmas. It's a great song, right? It's rousing, it's inspiring, it's big, it captures a lot. That first line has so much that it says, right? Oh, come all ye faithful. This week, it's not God that's not us that's asking God to come. This week, it's the angel. It's the Spirit. It's God in God's self who says to us, you come. Last week, it's us saying, God, you come. This week, it's God saying, I'll come if you come. And maybe that's what Advent really is. This mutual dance of us desiring God to come in more of God's fullness, and the more that we desire God to come, the more that God says, well, then you need to come along too. So last week, it was us imploring God to get here. And this week it's God who says, you come along too. Oh, come all ye faithful. all ye joyful, all ye triumphant. And then I sigh. Because that is a tall order, isn't it? Because truth be told, sometimes I don't feel all that faithful. And sometimes, maybe especially during Christmas, I don't feel all that joyful. Has anyone had their joy robbed from them already 1 week into Christmas preparation? Right? We were trying to decorate the tree last night, and my children were robbing my joy. That ornament doesn't go there, it goes here. Right? You know, parking lots and lines and all of that this season that is supposed to be so joyful can rob us of our joy. And it's not just because of the busyness and the craziness that goes around us. Christmas can sometimes, after doing this job for 15 years, I've come to learn that the holidays aren't all that fun for some people. That the holidays can be some of the hardest time of the year. At the holiday, when everybody's telling you you're supposed to be happy, all you can notice is the empty chair that's still at your table. 20 years later, and it's my mom who's still not at the table. And so I still miss her in the midst of this season of joy. So come all you faithful, all you joyful, triumphant. Man. It's hard to feel like we're winning a lot these days. The bad news seems to be outpacing the good news. And so it's a tall order. Oh, come, all ye faithful, all ye joyful, all ye triumphant. What if you're not feeling like that at Christmas? Is Christmas for you? Are you just missing the boat? Did you ever get to the end of this Christmas season and go, wow, I'm glad that's done? So if that is for you, I wonder what Christmas has to say to us. So I got to spend this week looking at who Jesus actually invites to come. Because if it's just about being faithful and just about being joyful and just about being triumphant, then maybe there are people who are saying, Christmas is fine for you, but I'm not sure where I fit into that kind of a picture. And so I had this fun this week of going back and reminding myself who it is that Jesus actually invites to come. If this is the week where we say God is saying, if I come, then you have to come along too, then who is it that Jesus actually invites to come along on this journey? In Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 28th verse, Jesus says this. Jesus says, come to me, all who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. You've maybe heard it. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christmas can make us feel weary. It can sometimes bring up our brokenheartedness. Like me, I wonder, is there somebody at the table you are missing this year? Does it make you feel worn out? Then notice it's Christ who says, come. And Christmas is just for you. Especially for you. Especially for us. Come, weary, brokenhearted, heavy laden, worn out. This promise is for you. Can I be honest with you? The more weary I get, the less likely I am to actually come to God. Does anybody else get like that? The more weary you get, the more you're like, I don't know why I would bother to pray right now. I sometimes feel like I got to get it all cleaned up before I turn to the Lord. As soon as I get it all straightened out, God will listen to me, because then I can be like, God, I've taken care of all of my stuff, so now I can pray for all you poor souls, right? God says, come, Jeff, when you're most weary and when you're most brokenhearted, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. So I was telling you earlier, I had the privilege of being a pastor in a community called Redford for 7 years, and the last 4 of those years, we took it on a second church in the Brightmoor neighborhood of Detroit. Brightmoor was 3.5 miles from the church in Redford, but it was divided by that great east-west divide called Telegraph Road. It might as well have been 1 million miles apart in terms of where those communities were and how they saw each other. And yet, by the love and grace of Christ, we were asked to be in partnership with each other. Brightmoor, one of the poorer neighborhoods in the city of Detroit, in it inhabits some of the most resilient, courageous, creative people I've ever met. It was during Christmas one year that the Jason Street apartment caught on fire and burned to the ground. Maybe you saw it on television, some 40, 50 people now suddenly homeless in that moment. That little church in the middle of that community was called to be the place that would welcome people, the place that would call people in. So they invited these 40 people to find their home that night. 40 mattresses went into the basement of the church, and those folks found a place to be home. One of the guidelines was is that in order to be there, you had to be in by 9 o'clock at night. I drew the late shift, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, there was a knock at the door, and it was Jimmy. And if you hung around Brightmoor, you knew Jimmy. Jimmy was always stopping by the church. He always needed a little help, a little handout, a little something to get him on his way. When your house burns down, there's lots of ways to deal with it. Jimmy found a way to deal with it. And Jimmy was at my church door, three sheets to the wind, at 2 o'clock in the morning. Pastor, you're going to let me in here, aren't you? Oh, Jimmy, I don't know. Pastor, you got to let me in here. I need a place to rest. All right, Jimmy. So here I am, a 44-year-old man tucking a 45-year-old man into bed. And as I tucked him into bed that night, I whispered in his ear, "Hey, Jimmy, don't forget, God loves you. Even on my worst day, right, Pastor? Especially on your worst day, Jimmy. Come to me, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden, and you'll find a place to rest." Feeling weary this Christmas? Feeling a little brokenhearted? Christmas is for you, and you can come. I love this other invitation that Jesus makes, because again, it flips this whole idea of what church should be like right on its head. Jesus says healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to invite good people to turn to God. I came to invite sinners. I came to invite people who screwed up. I came to invite people who need a second chance. I came to invite people who don't have it all together. And can I just be honest with you? I find that very refreshing. Because I fit those categories. Every single one of them. Do me a favor, turn to somebody you're sitting by and look them right in the eye and say, "You are a mess." Boy, Carrie, you had a lot of fun looking at Dave when you said that. I saw that. Hey, now look at somebody else, the same person, and say, "And so am I." All right? There's the great dance of the church, right? You are a mess, and so am I. And Jesus says, if you are a mess and you are messed up, then come. You can be a part of this church, and you can be a part of this movement. And it's so important that we remind ourselves this, because I've been doing this for 15 years, and one thing I've learned about you is that every time you step foot out the door of the church, you try to leave all of your junk and garbage in the parking lot. You try to pretend that you got it all together. You want to make sure that I don't think that you don't have it all together. You know how I know that you do that? Because I do the same thing every Sunday. As your pastor, I want to make sure that I got it all together and that I do it. And so we get into this religious dance every time we're together where you try to fake it and I try to fake it. And none of it ever comes real. And you leave here going, "Bash, I just don't know if this stuff actually really works." And that's why we have to remind ourselves that Jesus said, come. Come when you're messed up. Come when you don't have it figured out. Come when you've screwed up. Come if you're a sinner. Come and be a part of this journey to get it all together. Any sinners in the house today? Yeah, good. All right. Come, Christmas is for you. Come all ye faithful, all ye joyful and triumphant. Come all you brokenhearted, all you weary, all you screw-ups, all you mess-ups, all you sinners, everybody who needs a second chance, come. Christmas is for you. Another one of Jesus' opportunities. I don't know why I keep pointing to that instead of this, but I'll get better. Come with me, all who will come, and I will teach you how to bring in people instead of fish. You know that scene. Jesus' first calling of people. On the seas of Galilee, he came up on some fishermen. He said, come, and I will make you fishers of... I'll make you fishers of people, right? Come, I will teach you how to bring in people instead of fish. Jesus says, are you optimistic? Are you still a wild-eyed dreamer? Are you still somebody who believes that this world that doesn't seem to be set right can still be set right? Do you still believe the glass is half full? I mean, it's getting harder to be an optimist these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's getting harder to be a naive do-gooder these days. Thank goodness Jesus says, if you still want to do good, then come. Come, if you're still wild-eyed and crazy about serving and loving people, come. If you actually think that your contribution can make a difference in this world, then come. I need you in this life, in this journey. Come, bring your box of food. Come, bring your toys for kids. Come, bring your pillows and your blankets. Come, keep coming with your wild-eyed notions of changing and loving this world. I need you, God says, come. Come, all ye faithful, all ye joyful and triumphant. Come, all you weary, all you brokenhearted, all you messed up sinners. Come, all you wild-eyed dreamers who refuse to believe that this world still can't be loved right. Jesus says, come. If you listened to Faye read the scripture today, you would have heard it pretty loud and clear. The good news of great joy, which is for all people. The angels came to tell the news. And who did they tell the news to first? They told it to the shepherds. Why would you tell the shepherds anything? They're shepherds. In the first century world of Jesus, the last people you would tell good news to that you wanted to spread to the world would be the shepherds. You know why? Because nobody trusted shepherds. If you saw a shepherd coming down the one side of the street, you'd cross the other, you'd cover your wallet and watch your back. Shepherds were shifty and not to be trusted. They were poor, they were stinky, they were dirty, they talked funny. They're on the edge of community, and lo and behold, they're the very first people who get the message of the good news. So I guess if your good news is actually for all people, then you got to make sure that the people who are least likely to hear it get to hear it first. So if somewhere in your life you've been told you don't fit in or don't belong or the good news isn't for you, then let me tell you, you're one of the shepherds and the angel comes to you first today. And listen to what the angel says. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all people. I got a great job because I get to research some really interesting concepts. This week I got to research what the word all means. I looked it up in the dictionary. You know the definition of all? All. All means all. The shepherds did not hear the message, good news of great joy, which is for some people. The message wasn't good news of great joy, which is for most people. It wasn't it's good news of great joy, which is for certain people. It wasn't good news of great joys for religious people. It wasn't good news of great joy for people who have it all figured out and have it all together. No, the angel came and said, I've got good news of great joy, which is for all people. And all means all. So come all you weary and all you brokenhearted. Come all you sinners, mess up and screwed up. Come all you wild-eyed revolutionaries. Come and be a part of this journey. Come all you shepherds, these people who feel like they've been lost, left out, and forgotten. Come. And so here at Royal Oak First, if we're going to be the church that wants to live into the good news, we're going to be a church that invites everybody to come. Come. Come and be a part of this community of faith where we believe that the more of us who are together in this place, the more God is present here and among us. So we say, come. Hungry and homeless, we say, come. To the single parent, to the divorcee, to those families with special needs kids, we say, come. To the teenagers and young adults with their first babies just trying to figure it out, we say, come. To our seniors and to our veterans, we say, come. To those who struggle with addiction or with depression, Those who have rap sheets and need second chances, we say, come. To those folks who are white and black and Hispanic and Asian and all different shades in between, we say, come. To our LGBTQ friends and family, we say, come. To our Jewish and our Muslim and our Hindu and our Sikh and our agnostic and our atheist friends, we say, come. We say, come. And I think the most radical thing I can say in this world, to Democrats and Republicans, come, please, to this table. On your way in today, hopefully a little elf handed you a bulb, and you got the chance to put your name on it. If you didn't get one, we'll make sure you do on your way up. By the time we're done today, 300 plus names of the people included in the promise of Christmas will be on this bulb, on this wreath. It's a reminder that you're in there. No matter how you feel about it, there's a place for you at this table, there's a place for you in this circle, and we want to add you to that list. And reminding ourselves as we go forward into the rest of this Christmas season that you've got a neighbor or a coworker whose name needs to be on this tree as well. And I hope and pray that you find them and invite them.